Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 11th day of April, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall. Let's start off today with an event that we've known was coming for at least a week now, arguably longer if you understand how the deep state works. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was arrested by British police today after being hauled out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London following an extradition request by the U.S. He was dragged out of the building headfirst in handcuffs by a group of seven men, shouting, "The UK must resist." I guess about all you can say there is that at least unlike Roger Stone, they weren't wearing jackboots and flak vests. Shortly thereafter, says a report from the scene of the crime via the Daily Mail, British authorities confirmed that the whistleblower was being held on behalf of the deep state swamp in the United States, I put that last part in there, as well as for breaching bail conditions following those bogus rape allegations all the way back to 2010 in Sweden. And all of this, says the story, came after Ecuador dramatically and under no doubt incredible pressure withdrew Assange's asylum status after 7 years, blaming the Australians, quote, discourteous and aggressive behavior by continuing to work with WikiLeaks while housed at the embassy. It does note as well that Assange has always feared extradition to the police state in the U.S., where his lawyers have claimed he could face the death penalty, unlike people who've committed real acts of treason. And as you perhaps recall, it was accidentally, oh yeah, sure, revealed in November that Assange had been secretly indicted by the U.S. Department of Justice, but the exact nature of the charges, no surprise here, against the 47-year-old has not been disclosed. And that's the kind of transparency we've come to expect. Now that he's in custody, he's expected to appear before what constitutes the British legal system at the Westminster Magistrates Court, quote, as soon as possible. Two more related stories of at least some of the world reaction to this latest outrage. First, from former Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa, who initially welcomed Assange when the WikiLeaks founder sought asylum back in 2012, but as successor, not so much. Correa tweeted the following: "The greatest traitor in Ecuadorian and Latin American history, Lenin Moreno, allowed the British police to enter our embassy in London to arrest Assange. Moreno," said the former president, "is a corrupt man, but what he has done is a crime that humanity will never forget." Unquote. And then there's another historic, heroic whistleblower, former master tech nerd for the NSA, Edward Snowden, whom the U.S. deep state would also like to see dead, who reacted to the Assange takedown by tweeting the following: "Assange's critics may cheer, but this is a dark moment for press freedom." And he followed that up by noting that a publisher of, quote, award-winning journalism being arrested and thrown into a security van would undoubtedly, quote, end up in the history books. That is, if they're ever allowed to be written. Now here I have to insert some late news, because there have been a number of updates along the Julian Assange Railroad. Some ironic, others ought to be downright embarrassing. Zero Hedge notes that the editor of the Global Times, widely seen as a mouthpiece for communist Beijing, has weighed in on Assange's arrest and compared him to Western coverage of Chinese dissident Liu Xiaobo, sometimes called the Chinese version of Nelson Mandela. But I'm not sure if that means he was more or less of a communist. The West, they wrote, deified Liu while persecuting Assange, even though their actions, that of exposing government malfeasance, were basically similar. And while Liu was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize by the West, Assange was jointly hunted by Western countries. Why? Well, wrote the Chinese, if Assange had targeted China, Russia, or Iran, he wouldn't have ended up this way. He chose the wrong target. Unquote. And sadly, folks, for once, they've nailed it. There were some pithy comments via a Twitter wit, as Zero Hedge put it. Putting the treatment of Julian Assange in context, Rudy Havenstein, PCORA commissioner, wrote, "I don't know why Assange didn't just die in a single-vehicle automobile crash in Hancock Park at 4 a.m. or get himself shot in the back in D.C. at 4 a.m. That seems to be how these things are usually handled." And then he followed that up by saying, "Breaking news, Assange has been transferred to Saudi Arabia for questioning." And then there's this. The DOJ has described Assange's shoelaces as, quote, practically new, very strong, capable of supporting up to 200 pounds, unquote. All of which makes your host wonder just what the Brits may have planned in their system of just us. But, notes Zero Hedge in a late update, clearly feeling the pressure from his many supporters who sympathize with Assange, President Trump has backtracked and told reporters in the White House press pool that, quote, I don't know anything about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing. Forcing so many people to point out, well, it was his thing while he was running for president, because then-candidate Trump praised WikiLeaks repeatedly during the campaign as it released tranches of emails purportedly stolen from the DNC and Clinton campaign manager John Podesta and all kinds of other now well-known scumbags. And Assange's supporters took to Twitter to remind the president about how much he did tweet about something he now claims, I know nothing about. And I'll just quote a few of the literally dozens here. There is, after all, a YouTube video now making the rounds showing Trump saying the word WikiLeaks 141 times on the campaign trail. 12 October 2016, before the election, quote, very little pickup by the dishonest media of incredible information provided by WikiLeaks. So dishonest, wrote the now president, rigged system. And he said this just the day before that. I hope people are looking at the disgraced behavior of Hillary Clinton as exposed by WikiLeaks. She is unfit to run. And there are lots and lots more.
I see nothing. I know nothing. Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
Rather than saying, I know nothing about WikiLeaks, it's not my thing, the president ought to say, I'm going to pardon Julian Assange. And arguably, since we wouldn't even know about the depths of corruption and treason finally, at least in part, being exposed, without true investigative reporters and courageous whistleblowers like Julian Assange, Ed Snowden, and others, let's do a treason update today as well. And I'll at least introduce it with a couple of comments from Julie Kelly via American Greatness, Zero Hedge, and others about how it's the same people who were behind the Iraq war lies a few years ago that have now been caught pushing Russian collusion. Exploiting fear and confusion, she begins, after a shocking event, they warned that our country was in imminent danger at the hands of a madman, insisting that legitimate intelligence, including a CIA report issued a month before a national election and a dossier produced by, reliable sources in the United Kingdom, proved the threat was real. And as you might expect, it monopolized discussions on Capitol Hill, in the occupied White House, and the captive press. And they argued the situation was so dire that it was straining our relationship with strategic allies, dismissing any evidence to the contrary. And of course, anyone who questioned the agenda was ridiculed as a coward, a dupe, and of course, a conspiracy theorist. And it goes on and on, noting that eventually an investigative report released 2 years after the propaganda campaign began found no evidence to support their central claim. The CIA report was highly flawed, the official dossier was deceptive and sexed up, and guess what, folks? We're not talking about the Trump Russia collusion hoax, although the similarities, notes Kelly, are nearly identical. Instead, we're talking about the period between 2002 and 2004, when many of the very same people, what an amazing coincidence, who peddled the recent collusion fiction, also insisted that Saddam Hussein, good friend of George Bush, at least for a while, possessed WMDs. You know what that stands for, weapons of mass destruction. Or, perhaps more appropriately, to quote Bugs Bunny, "Wooey massive deception." Now, if you're curious about some of the names, Kelly quotes some of the worst from the alleged right. Yeah, sure. Rhinos like Bill Kristol, first in 2003, then 2018. The late traitor John McCain, and also people like David Frum and Max Boot. Not to mention former NSA director Michael Hayden, and scumbags like former representative, now MSNBC host, Joe Scarborough, and a number of other even lesser lights. Ray McGovern of Consortium News takes up a similar theme concerning the unaccountable media and the dilemma they now face in the next phase of Deep State Gate. It goes beyond lack of credibility. And while you may not know some of these names, we certainly know them by their fruit. Readers of the WAPO, he begins on Monday, were treated to more of the same from editorial page chief Fred Hyatt, who won his spurs by promoting misleading so-called intelligence about none other than WMDs in Iraq, and of course suffered no consequences at all, so he's still at it. This time he seems to want to lessen his disgrace for being among the most shameless when it came to promoting the Russia, 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 Trump collusion narrative. And he's not giving up. Because he seems to know that as long as you adhere rigidly to the official narrative of what McGovern refers to as the growing military-industrial congressional intelligence media academia think tank complex, you needn't worry about being held to account. And in his Monday column, Hyatt warned, quote, Trump was elected with the assistance of Russian spies and trolls, which he openly sought and celebrated. But he did not, or so we are told, secretly conspire with them. Unquote. And how's that for brassing it on out? New York Times executive editor Dean Baquet said as well, regarding the backlash concerning their bogus collusion coverage, quote, I have no regrets. It's not our job to determine whether or not there was illegality. And as if that wasn't enough, there's always CNN President Jeff Zucker, who said, quote, we are not investigators, we are journalists, unquote. Well, I certainly disagree, and that terminology is certainly questionable. I'd suggest that a better term rather than journalists might be shills, maybe liars, propagandists, or even shameless tools. McGovern harkens back to what Hyatt conceded during an interview way back after the last fiasco in the WMDs with the Columbia Journalism Review, where he said, quote, if you look at the editorials we write running up to the war, we state as flat fact that he, meaning Saddam Hussein, has weapons of mass destruction. If that's not true, it would have been better not to say it, unquote. Prompting real investigative journalist Bob Perry, and as McGovern notes, the founder of the Consortium news site, to say, yes, that is a common principle of journalism, that if something isn't real, we're not supposed to confidently declare that it is, unquote. McGovern then returns to the New York Times, which published a banner headline the day after the so-called intelligence community assessment was published, saying bluntly, quote, Putin-led scheme to aid Trump, report says. But buried inside the Times that same day, he notes, was at least one cautionary paragraph written by staff reporter Scott Shane, who's since been deep-sixed, but noted then, quote, what is missing from the public report is what many Americans most eagerly anticipated, hard evidence to back up the agency's claims that the Russian government engineered the election attack. That, he said, is a significant omission, unquote. Indeed, says McGovern, it was, it remains so, even if Scott Shane no longer does. There are, of course, other media slash deep state players as well, and isn't that an interesting confusion? For example, lying mouthpiece James Clapper, an Obama appointee who led the investigation into the alleged, and now dissipating like morning fog, Russia, 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 interference in the 2016 election. The fact that Obama appointed the guy, says McGovern, speaks volumes. And he goes on to cite quote after quote of this scumbag pretending to be an expert, and then turning Emily Letella later on and saying, never mind. It beggars belief, writes McGovern, that Obama could have been unaware of Clapper's bizarre views on the Russians. Clearly, he was bowing yet again to pressure from deep state actors, arguing that Clapper was the ideal man to get that job done. And now he continues, there's documentary evidence, we've talked about this here before, that from the deep state point of view, he was at least knee-deep. Things like text exchanges between the discredited scumbags at the FBI, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, make it clear that Obama wanted to be kept in the loop when it came to the FBI's behind-the-scenes machinations. In a September 2, 2016 text to Strzok, Page writes that she was preparing talking points because the president himself, quote, wants to know everything we're doing, unquote. And as Ray McGovern now notes, the hero of many liberals, James Clapper, once supremely confident, has now been replaced by a squirming, and Obama made me do it, massager of facts. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul points out the other big scumbag here is John Brennan. And as he tweeted back on March 27th of this year, breaking, a high-level source tells me it was Brennan who insisted that the unverified and fake Steele dossier be included in the intelligence report. Brennan, said the senator, should be asked to testify under oath in Congress ASAP. And on top of that, he's since called for an investigation into the origin of the Mueller witch hunt, a.k.a. probe, including that dicey question of just how witting President Obama actually was of the deep state chicanery during the last months of his regime. Remember what the leftists once said about another president who was far, far less criminally oriented than these guys? Well, at least as the Wall Street Journal later wrote, Tricky Dick had enough integrity and, yeah, shame to resign when he got caught. But you remember the famous phrase? We ought to be hearing it again if there was still journalism anywhere near the swamp. What did he know and when did he know it? All of which brings me to a brief digression, but it certainly fits very well here. What does the actual elected president of the United States, in spite of their best efforts, think of all of this? Well, yeah, I know, we kind of sort of have a clue, but he's been using the T word a lot more lately. And yes, this is a response to a question in a noisy environment, but you get the picture.
Well, the Mueller report's interesting. After $35 million, with 13 increased to 18 angry Democrats, people that truly hated Donald Trump, truly hated Trump, they found no collusion whatsoever with Russia. But I could have told you that, and so could most people, and so could have everybody that voted for me, which was a lot of people. So after wasting all of this money and all of this time with people that were haters, people that worked on the Hillary Clinton Foundation, people that were absolutely haters of Trump, they found no collusion. What has been found during this period of time are the illegal acts of getting this whole phony investigation started. And hopefully that's where people are going now. That's where people are going. And it's very interesting. It was an illegal investigation, Major. It was an illegal investigation. It was started illegally. Everything about it was crooked. Every single thing about it. There were dirty cops. These were bad people. You look at McCabe and Comey, and you look at Lisa and Peter Strzok. These were bad people. And this was an attempted coup. This was an attempted takedown of a president. And we beat them. We beat them.
Well, wait a minute there. Not quite so fast. I don't think it's quite fair to say we beat them until we see a whole lot of people wearing orange jumpsuits, at least for starters. But back to the president.
So the Mueller report, when they talk about obstruction, what we fight back. And you know why we fight back? Because I knew how illegal this whole thing was. It was a scam. And what I'm most interested in, is getting started. Hopefully the Attorney General, he mentioned it yesterday, he's doing a great job getting started on going back to the origins of exactly where this all started. Because this was an illegal witch hunt, and everybody knew it, and they knew it too, and they got caught. And what they did was treason. What they did was terrible. What they did was against our Constitution and everything we stand for. So hopefully that will happen. There is a hunger for that to happen in this country like I have never seen before, including all of the millions of people that voted for me. What they did was disgraceful. There's never been anything like it in the history of our country. Thank you.
And the president did mention there that Attorney General William Barr is at least starting to look into the witch hunt and, arguably, the treason. He's assembled an internal team, said a piece from Zero Hedge summarizing a number of stories at the Justice Department to review controversial counterintelligence decisions. Gee, do you think? Made by DOJ and FBI officials, including actions taken all the way back in the summer of 2016. Bloomberg put it this way, citing a person familiar with the matter. All of this indicates that Barr is looking into allegations, they said, that Republican lawmakers have been pursuing for more than a year, that the investigation, sick, into President Donald Trump and possible collusion with Russia was tainted at the start by anti-Trump bias in the FBI and Just Us Department, unquote, and gee, who are we kidding? And Barr evidently confirmed that Bloomberg report on Tuesday when he told a House panel, quote, "I am reviewing the conduct of the investigation and trying to get my arms around all the aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2015. At this point, the Zero Hedge piece gives us a quick summary of some of the other names that are involved here. Besides the high-level, well-known ones like Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein, Loretta's lynch mob, and yes, even good buddy Robert Mueller, their self-professed Clinton Foundation member, Joseph Mifsud, who may have been one of the early sources involved in the setup of George Papadopoulos and the launch of Operation Crossfire Hurricane. And on that score, let's not forget FBI and DOD paid spy Stephen Halper. There are all those involved in the FISA warrants and abuse. And Barr, as it turns out, is also looking into a criminal investigation launched against former Attorney General Jeff Sessions in 2017 for misleading lawmakers, or so they said. That only works if you're a former CIA or DIA kind of guy, it would seem, about his contacts with Russia during his time as a senator advising the Trump campaign, which was eventually closed without charges. Representative Jim Jordan put it this way, quote, "That's great news. He's looking into how this whole thing started back in 2016, said the Ohio Republican, top guy on the House Oversight and Reform Committee. That's really important, he continued. It's what we've been calling for." Molly Hemingway at The Federalist, too, weighs in on the Barr update, as I mentioned yesterday, following his Senate testimony on Wednesday, quote, "Spying on a political campaign is a big deal. After all, folks, Tricky Dick resigned for a whole lot less than anything the Obama folks managed to get away with so far." And she follows that up with this pithy observation. "While it's important that the top so-called law enforcement in the United States has publicly acknowledged that the Obama regime and its intelligence agencies surveilled its domestic political opponents during the heat of a presidential election, it's what the Attorney General said next that was most startling. That the CIA and other federal agencies, in addition to the FBI, may have been involved." Quote, "I'm not talking about the FBI necessarily, or in other words, just or only the FBI necessarily, but, quote, intelligence agencies more broadly," he said. And yes, she too goes on to note the usual suspects. "There have always been indications," she wrote, "that the operation went far beyond the FBI. For example, former CIA director John Brennan, now MSNBC contributor, separately briefed the infamous Nevada Senator Dirty Harry Reid about the operation. Reid understood," she said, "that the move was undertaken so he could publicize the Russia, Russia, Russia investigation and influence the ongoing, then at least, presidential election campaign." And then there's former DNI James Clapper, now a CNN contributor, who admitted to discussions with media outlets about the investigation. The U.S. Embassy in London, too, was used, contrary to established protocol, to funnel hearsay that was then used as a pretext to officially launch a wide-ranging investigation against the entire Trump orbit. Clinton-connected officials in the State Department, too, were used to disseminate unverified gossip and allegations about Trump throughout the federal government. All of which pretty well demonstrates, even beyond the most publicly known information, that agencies beyond the FBI were probably intimately involved in the operation. And although the media would like to, let's not forget Devin Nunes of California, the ranking Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, who's gone on the offensive, noting that they will soon be submitting criminal referrals on a number of individuals involved in the abuse of intelligence for political purposes. These people, he said, must be held to account to prevent similar abuses from occurring in the future. Said Ray McGovern, continuing his theme about the media trying to brass this one out, "Their silence here," in other words, the dog that did not bark, "is an attempt to deprive the Nunes story from oxygen." Nevertheless, on Sunday, Nunes said, "They," meaning the Democrats, "have lied multiple times to the American people. All you have to do is look at the phony memos. They've had the full support of the media, 90% of the media in this country. They all have egg on their face. And so the fact of the matter remains, is justice going to be served, or is justice going to be denied? And that's," he said, "why we're sending over these criminal referrals." And all of that is key for what's coming up. The question really remains, is America a nation of laws or of men? And while we have our doubts, We're going to find out one way or another real soon now. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.